king is coming. He is just and endowed with salvation, humble and mounted on a donkey. And we know that that prophecy was fulfilled in intimate detail when Jesus Christ entered Jerusalem at what has been called his triumphal entry. Zechariah also spoke of the betrayal of Jesus. In chapter 11, verses 12 and 13, it says, "And I said to them, if it is good in your sight, give me my wages, but if not, never mind. So they weighed out 30 shekels of silver as my wages. Then the Lord said to me, throw it to the potter, that magnificent price at which I was valued by them. So I took the 30 shekels of silver and threw them to the potter in the house of the Lord." This prophecy also fulfilled in intimate detail as Jesus Christ was betrayed with that price of 30 pieces of silver, and that silver was then thrown into the temple, and the priests then bought the potter's field with it. Amazing. Zechariah also spoke of the arrest of Jesus. Zechariah 13, verse 7. "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd and against the man my associate, declares the Lord of hosts. Strike the shepherd, that the sheep may be scattered, and I will turn my hand on the little ones." We want to look at this text in a little bit more detail this morning. And as we examine it, I want you to see how it is fulfilled and how it is connected to the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the promise of the gospel. And as we do so, I think it would be helpful again for us to get the historic setting of the prophecy. You remember that Israel had been taken into captivity. 70 years they were in Babylon, languishing there. And when Babylon was finally overthrown, Cyrus, king of Persia, issued a decree which allowed a remnant of the people to return to Jerusalem to begin the process of rebuilding the temple and reestablishing the true worship of God in the world. When the foundation of the temple was laid, there was great rejoicing. But when that foundation of the temple was laid, the people of the land surrounding the Israelites were not happy. And so as a result, they frustrated the work of the people in rebuilding the temple. And as a result, that work languished for some 18 years. It was then that Zechariah the prophet came onto the scene, and his job was to encourage the people in the task of rebuilding the temple and reestablishing this work and the worship of God in the world. In chapter 1 of Zechariah, we find the theme of the book. Turn back there, if you would, with me to Zechariah chapter 1, the first 6 verses. It says, "In the 8th month of the 2nd year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to Zechariah the prophet, the son of Berechiah, the son of Ida, saying, the Lord was very angry with your fathers. Therefore say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, return to me, declares the Lord of hosts, that I may return to you, says the Lord of hosts. Do not be like your fathers, to whom the former prophets proclaimed, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, return now from your evil ways and from your evil deeds. But they did not listen or give heed to me, declares the Lord. Your fathers, where are they? And the prophets, do they live forever? But did not my words and my statutes, which I commanded my servants, the prophets, overtake your fathers? Then they repented and said, as the Lord of hosts proposed to do to us in accordance with our ways and our deeds, so he has dealt with us." There was a call. There was a call for the people to return to the Lord. That was one of the missions of Zechariah the prophet, to call the people back to the Lord. And of course, that was necessary, as we have said before, if the process of rebuilding was to get underway. Zechariah set before the people then some incentive for this rebuilding process. He said to them, your king is coming. Well, he didn't come for almost 500 years. But it was an incentive to the people that they should rebuild that temple. And it ought to be an incentive to you and to me today to get busy at the work of rebuilding the church of Jesus Christ, knowing that the Lord is coming. He is coming again. He came a first time as He promised, and He will come a second time as He promised. And we ought to be busy about the business of rebuilding the church and preparing ourselves as the bride of Jesus Christ to meet the Lord when He comes. But interestingly enough, when Jesus did come that first time, as prophesied by Zechariah, He was rejected. He did not receive proper wages for His labor. You remember last week we talked about the wages being repentance and faith, the proper wages. That when Jesus Christ came, men and women should have followed Him, turning to Him as the Christ of God. But what wages did He receive? Pitiful wages. 30 pieces of silver. An amazing thing. And so we come to Zechariah chapter 13 and verse 7. God's plan, it seems, is to scatter the sheep by striking the shepherd, and by this means to bring about miraculous restoration to His church. It was God's plan to bring about restoration and revival. I believe it's God's plan to bring about restoration and revival today, too. I really believe that that's the case. In that day, God had a plan, a very specific plan, to bring about restoration and revival. Look at Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 10, for example. "And I will pour out on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication, so that they will look on Me whom they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only son, and they will weep bitterly over him like the bitter weeping over a firstborn." The Spirit was to be poured out. God promised that. And the pouring out of the Holy Spirit was to bring real sorrow for sin. The pouring out of the Holy Spirit was to bring about a turning away from sin to the Lord Jesus Christ, so they would see the One whom they had pierced. Zechariah 13, verse 1, promises forgiveness and cleansing. Look at it. "In that day a fountain will be opened for the house of David and for the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for impurity." When the Holy Spirit is poured out, Zechariah says, a fountain will be opened. And men and women will see Jesus Christ who was pierced through. They will recognize their sins, and in Him they will recognize a cleansing fountain. What a thing that Jesus Christ and His blood becomes a cleansing fountain. And that blood of Jesus Christ is applied to people like you and me through the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. It is through Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, that revival is then to come. And this is what Zechariah chapter 13 and verse 7 explains to us. "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd and against the man my associate, declares the Lord of hosts." This is incredible. Zechariah sees the Lord calling a sword into action against the Good Shepherd. Of course, the sword is a personification. It's not an actual sword that is brought against the Good Shepherd. It's like our thinking of the war in the Middle East We lowered our guns against Iraq. We sent our army after Saddam Hussein. And there was victory. The sword came down, we could say. It's a personification of force and of power. The Lord orders the sword to strike the shepherd. How could this be? How could this actually be? Well, we know this is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Turn with me again, if you would, to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26. Here is the specific reference. Matthew 26, verse 31. Then Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike down the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered." The Lord does this. Incredibly enough. There is further reference to that fact in the Gospel of John, chapter 19, verses 10 and 11. Here is the Lord Jesus before Pilate. Pilate therefore said to him, "You do not speak to me. Do you not know that I have authority to release you and I have authority to crucify you?" Jesus answered, "You would have no authority over me unless it had been given you from above. For this reason, he who delivered me up to you has the greater sin." "You have no authority over me," Pilate said. Or Jesus said to Pilate, "Except it has been given to you from above." I think this rather shook up Pilate, because he knew that there was a greater authority than himself. And this is fulfillment of what we read in Zechariah chapter 13 and verse 7. "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd and against my man, against the man my associate." The sword is to be brought against the shepherd who is described for us in this particular text. Against the man my associate. Jesus Christ, the good shepherd, is a man. He is fully man. He was born into this world as a man. He grew up in this world as a man. Yet, the scriptures here call him the associate of God. My associate. Jesus Christ is also fully God. As the associate of God. He is the one who was born of the Virgin Mary by the power of the Holy Spirit, so that he would be the Holy One. He is fully God and fully man. Two distinct natures in one person forever. This is the Good Shepherd. And lethal force is brought against this Good Shepherd. The sword, the prophecy says. Now, this isn't the actual way of Christ's death, but it is. Lethal force brought against him, and the instrument is the government of Rome, and the means is crucifixion. And the sheep are scattered. Look at verse 8 in Zechariah chapter 13. "And it will come about in the land, declares the Lord, that two parts in it will be cut off and perish, but the third will be left in it." As a result of the striking of the shepherd by this sword, the sheep are to be scattered. And what does the prophecy tell us? That a portion are going to perish. They perish because they rejected the good shepherd. John 3:16 tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." And so there are only one of two ways people like you and people like me can go. We can believe in the Good Shepherd, who is Jesus Christ, and have eternal life, or we can reject the Good Shepherd and perish. And the perishing which Jesus speaks of is the perishing of people in hell forever. But there is a promise. Look at Zechariah 13, verse 7. "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man my associate, declares the Lord of hosts. Strike the shepherd, that the sheep may be scattered, and I will turn my hand upon the little ones." Now, if you're reading the New American Standard Version, or the New International Version, or the King James Version, or the New King James Version, the text probably reads like this: "And I will turn my hand against the little ones." I don't know why all the versions read that way, but the major commentators and the margin of the New American Standard Version has it a little bit different. "And I will turn my hand upon the little ones." And the meaning is this: I will make the people an object of my care. Now that's interesting. Because if that's correct, and I believe it is, then what we have here is a promise of restoration, a promise of renewal, a promise that brings hope to the people to whom this prophecy is delivered. And verse 9 explains it a little bit. "And I will bring the third part through the fire, refine them as silver is refined, and test them as gold is tested. They will call upon my name, and I will answer them, and I will say, they are my people. And they will say, the Lord is my God." What tremendous words of hope those really are. The remnant will be refined through fire. Yes, through fire. And they will come through as the people of God. That's the promise. I can't help but think of the Clausen family in connection with this text. A refinement through fire. You can put other families and other individuals in that text. But it is a refinement through fire. And what happens? These people come through. And Zechariah chapter 13 and verse 9 says, "I will say, they are my people. And they will say, the Lord is my God." Dear friends in Christ, that's a great promise. And what Zechariah is telling us here is that the way of restoration, the way of renewal, comes through Jesus Christ, upon whom the sword of the Lord comes with vengeance. But what happens? Jesus Christ is raised again from the dead. I want you to go back again to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26, where the prophecy of Zechariah is again recorded. Matthew 26, verses 31 and 32 this time. Then Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike down the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee." You see that, don't you? After I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. That's the promise. After the resurrection, Jesus Christ does go before the disciples to Galilee. And the resurrection brings about the restoration that is promised by Zechariah. And it's interesting in the gospel accounts how it is that the Lord Jesus promises the disciples he will go before them into Galilee, and he does meet them there. And as we discussed in the college class this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it says that above 500 people saw him at one time there. Imagine that. Witnesses to the resurrection. They saw him. And I think the commentators are right that it was at that place in Galilee where above 500 people saw him at one time. And guess what Jesus does there in Galilee? Turn in your Bibles a couple of pages to Matthew chapter 28, the very end of the Gospel of Matthew. Verses 16 through 20. "And the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" Jesus Christ gives the disciples their marching orders. He gives the church its marching orders. He says to the disciples, "You're all going to fall away. Because it is written, strike the shepherd that the sheep may be scattered." And sure enough, that takes place. But Jesus says, "After I have been raised from the dead, I'll go before you to Galilee." He does it. And when he appears to them in Galilee, he gives them their marching orders. You see, my friends, Zechariah chapter 13, verse 7, is a prophecy which therefore involves you and me. It really does. Jesus Christ is the good shepherd who is smitten with the sword of the Lord. He is crucified, dead, and buried. But he is raised again to turn his hand upon the little ones. And that's you and me. To bring restoration. To bring renewal. What this means is that we are the beneficiaries of the death of Christ. Not only so, we are the beneficiaries of the resurrection of Christ. He goes before us as the risen Lord. And he calls us to follow him. I'm really struck by the fact that This is a real call of Jesus Christ. I don't know where you were last night in the evening, but I know where we were last night in the evening. We were watching basketball. Were you watching basketball last night? Watching KU win its game? Watching Duke upset UNLV? Everybody's following basketball, the Final Four. And I dare say there'll be most of us watching that game Monday night on our TVs. We'll be following it very closely. Jesus Christ, dear friends, was the Good Shepherd who was smitten by the sword of the Lord. And by this process, he promised to bring restoration to his church. And he calls you and me to follow him. I hope we'll do that. And surely we need to take heed to that call to follow Jesus Christ as much as we're following those basketball games. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you. We thank you that this prophecy in Zechariah was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And it was fulfilled in such a way that we can't deny it, that those words spoken 500 years before Christ came spoke of him. May these be words which challenge us and enable us to believe in this same Jesus Christ so that we will follow him. Hear us, we pray, in his name. Amen.